We are in Acts today because it's Pentecost Sunday. The disciples previous to this story were told by Jesus to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that they would be clothed with power from on high. So here we find them doing what Jesus said, waiting in an upper room during the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was the 15th day after Passover, and it was the day when farmers brought the first bit of wheat, the first sheaf of wheat from their crop and offered it to God, partly as a sign of gratitude and thankfulness, but partly as a prayer asking that the rest of the crop would be safely gathered in. It was one of the festivals where people would come from all over the known world to Jerusalem. They would make the journey there. And so here we are in the bustling city of Jerusalem with the disciples waiting for this promised gift that's going to come from on high. And they're gathered together and they've been praying. And then suddenly, the sound of a violent wind comes and fire comes from heaven and fills the whole house. And these tongues of fire separate and rest on each one of them. Now, what is all of that about? Well, we know from Jesus that he speaks about promising to give the disciples good gifts. So what I've got here is I've got some scissors and I've got some fiery flames. What I want you to do is grab a bunch of these flames, take a couple of different colors. There's reds and oranges there. And if this fire is a good gift, and we know it's a good gift because Jesus only promises to give good gifts, and I want you to write on each flame what good thing fire gives us. What good thing fire does. I just want to kind of settle on three that you've said that have come up time and time again as we think about Pentecost and as we think about this good gift that the Holy Spirit is. So the first thing is fire guides us. We've said this in lots of different ways, lighthouses, beacons, fire guides us. It is a light and it lights the way. And fire has often led the way for people. Whether it was people in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, being led by the pillar of fire through the desert, or the wise men being led by the fiery star that appeared in the sky where they went to encounter Jesus. Fire is often used to guide people. Today, that could be the lamps on headlights, the torches that we might use in the dark. Or like the Jubilee weekend, like someone had said, the beacons lighting the way. The promised gift of the Holy Spirit is to guide us. That's one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to us. God wants us to guide us through the power of his Spirit. And this is one of the things that Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will do. Jesus says in John's Gospel, talking about the Holy Spirit to his disciples, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." Jesus also says in Luke's Gospel that the Holy Spirit will guide us when we, with what to say, will give us the words. Fire can guide the way. And in the same way that the fire rested on those first disciples, the church was born and the Holy Spirit guided them to grow and to multiply, to be a blessing to everyone they encountered. In our Pentecost reading, the Holy Spirit fell on them and it helped them speak in a miraculous way so that others could understand the good news in their own language. Right after this story that Adam just read, Peter will stand up and in the power of the Holy Spirit, he explains to the people around what's going on. And they understand and some come to know God in a new way. So as a Christian, I find it helpful to remember that the Holy Spirit is there to guide me. And on Pentecost Sunday, let's remember that the Spirit guides each of us into all truth. Sometimes The Holy Spirit will give me courage and kindness to say things in the right way. Other times, the Holy Spirit might want to help us to listen and to pray with others in love. Often, if I've got a hard decision to make, it's such an encouragement to remember that the Holy Spirit is God's gift to me and to guide me when I'm not sure what to do. Of course, that doesn't mean that everything always goes exactly how we want it, but it's such a comfort to know that the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us and is available to each and every one of us. That's what we're celebrating today. So next time you need some guidance, remember that the Holy Spirit is there. And one of the gifts of this fire is that God wants to guide you. God wants to lead you. God wants to reveal his plans and his purposes and show you the way. The other thing that the Holy Spirit does is bring us together. Fire brings us together. Again, we talked about food and barbecues. We talked about gathering around a fire. Fire brings people together. And I love it that they were all gathered in one place. God had gathered them together for a purpose. They were all together in one place, and the Spirit was poured out on them, and it grabbed their attention. And people were also gathered in through this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I love it that the Holy Spirit brought Jesus' friends together. They'd gone from this ragtag bunch of strangers to friends on an adventure with God. Only the Spirit of Jesus could bring such different people together with the same purpose. It didn't make them, though, a cozy club where others weren't welcome. The fire of God rested on them and it drew others in from the outside, curious, wanting to know more. As we celebrate Pentecost, let's continue to pray that we wouldn't be a cozy club just for those on the inside. But just like on the first Pentecost, let's continue to pray that the fire of God's love would draw and gather many in. The challenge of Pentecost is that the fire of God's love turned enemies into friends because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are we people who want to welcome others, even that are different from ourselves? When the fire of God's Spirit fills us, it brings unity in an incredible way. It did on that first Pentecost, and it does even today. You could argue that in the book of Acts, Saul was one of the enemies of Jesus, went around trying to shut the church down. But he would later encounter God's Spirit and become utterly transformed. And he goes on to say this in Ephesians: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. The Holy Spirit brings us together, even in our diversity, but the Holy Spirit also enables us to gather new friends and even turn enemies into friends through the fire of God's love. And the final thing that I want to share about fire, and we've said it again, is it fuels things. It's the spark that can move an engine forward. It's the jet flames that can send a rocket into space. And it's an explosion of colors as fireworks explode over the night sky. Fire is explosive. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is equally explosive, but not in a destructive way, but in a creative way. The disciples didn't stay huddled together, but they exploded onto the streets, and 3,000 were added to their number in that same day. Let's remember that we are meant to be an explosive force for good, fueled by the fire of God's love. The Spirit filled them to be an explosive force for good. And the last thing I just want to share is that fire transforms. We've said it purifies. We've said it, a forest fire creates new life. Forest fires transform because actually they warm us. Fires warm us. And it's that warming that changes and transforms us. Fire molds and shapes the things that it warms. Just like a piece of precious glass, if it was molded while it was cold and hard, it would just shatter. But when it's warmed, it can be shaped and changed into something beautiful. Again, Paul, who was utterly transformed through an encounter with God's Spirit, knew something about having a cold heart, being warmed and transformed through the fire of God's love. He says this in Romans, and I want to read it in the Message translation. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Dad?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we'll certainly go through the good times with Him as well. What an amazing promise of that transforming love that the Spirit brings. God's Spirit touches our spirit, and we get to be part of God's family. God warms our hearts with His transforming love so we can know God intimately, so we can know God closely. And that is the best gift of all. The Spirit reveals Jesus to us, and that revealing can be an intimate, close relationship with a God, the God of all creation. So this week, this month, even for the rest of this year, Paul reminds us that God's fire warms and transforms our hearts, so much so that we can be called children of God and even be part of God's plan, be what the Bible calls co-heirs with Christ. We are molded to take on the family likeness and even take on the family business, not in our own strength, but through the power of the Spirit.